What up, sports fans? Happy Thirsty Thursday on another live edition of Sports Breakers presented by the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. This is episode 9, and we're talking WWE Backlash along with some NBA playoffs. I'm your host, Juan, joined by the other cast, the crew, Craig.
What up, what up?
Cracking open something. Jay's going to join us for the Backlash edition. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I just figured I'd say hi and then let you guys talk your sports. And when it's my time to talk, I'll join you.
You'll join us. Craig,
talk sports.
Craig, we had a very fun episode last week when we talked the first 10 picks of the NFL draft.
Yep.
We were all pretty spot on with some of the picks. Looking back now a week later, what's some of the big names or big maybe surprises that kind of popped out, whether it was day one, day two, or day three?
The Texas tight end, Jatavion Sanders dropping as far as he did. I know NFL teams might have been shied away a little bit because of his ability to block. I can't remember who exactly he fell to, but where he fell, I felt like it was a little far. I do think that he's going to be a tremendous pass catching tight end. I think you can learn to block. What you can't teach is route running, hands, and speed. And I think he has those three.
I don't like where he fell to. He fell to the Panthers.
But where was it? It was like round 3, wasn't it?
Round 4, pick 101. Yeah, 101 overall.
I don't think there were 3.5 rounds of tight ends better than him. So
I think falling to the Panthers, I think it'd be good if he had a quarterback that could get it to the end zone, but I don't see how he's going to get to the end zone.
Yeah.
So I did like the Dallas Cowboys first round pick, the offensive line out of Oklahoma.
Guyton?
I thought that was a very good pick on their end. A lot of people wanted more of a flashy pick. I'm like, no, you got to protect Dak, and you have to replace the offensive line that they lost.
At that point, I wish they would have – there were two things. They traded down to get more picks because they didn't have a bunch. They traded down. They got Guyton, who is he's like 6'7", big hands, big wingspan. So
big back.
Very raw. Let's be honest. He's an old lineman coming out of Oklahoma. It doesn't matter where they're drafted, they're going to be
the only Oklahoma first rounder.
Yeah. Oklahoma had a lot of their team was coming back. And then let's be honest, nobody was going to pick up Drake Stoops in the first round. I think he was really good for college. I think he'll be a good option in the NFL for certain teams. Just what Oklahoma was putting in the draft this year, not the greatest of talent. I think there'll be viable options on teams, though. I think you'll see a couple of names come out of nowhere, but they'll make rosters and they'll make some noise. But I do think Guyton will be a very good offensive lineman for the Cowboys. Oklahoma puts out good talent and the Cowboys can produce some good offensive linemen. So
I think he starts week one.
Do they need it? Did Dallas have somebody retire?
No, but they're just replacing
what's his name?
With the Jets.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, he went to the Jets.
Yeah.
So Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champs, picked Xavier Worthy to end the first round. A lot of people don't like that pick. I feel like they went straight to receiver because they are going to lose Rice for the first probably half the season.
Should be more.
And then they're also – I think they're still hurting trying to replace Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. I don't think you can really replace Tyreek Hill. I don't even think Worthy is going to be able to replace Hill. Hill had a good skill set of size I say size, his stature was very good for what he could produce. Like, yes, he was small, but he was pretty stocky. He could take hits. He was, you know, he could go across the middle and take a hit. I don't know if Worthy can go across the middle. Let's be honest. Today's NFL is a little more friendly for those middle routes, but
and for those smaller receivers too.
Tyreek is a
there's Guyton though. He's a beast.
Yeah, and he was a converted defensive lineman slash tight end. Wasn't even really an offensive tackle for the first couple of years of college. But Bill Beatonbow, he puts him in the NFL. Offensive linemen are making like $52 million a year that Beatonbow's produced. So he's going to make money. He's going to be good, and he'll have some long years probably ahead of him.
Yeah, a lot of people, like we were talking about before I showed that picture, they don't think Xavier was worthy.
I think it was a really good pick. You know, I don't necessarily know, you know, I didn't see their board of what or who they needed. But you want speed, you're going to have speed. You're going to have Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy. Rashee Rice is pretty fast. They have one other wide receiver who, I mean, just their wide receiver room is nothing but speed. So, I mean, you can't really hate on it. They have a game plan and they stuck to it.
Let's talk some NBA playoffs real quick. Anything else you want to touch on the draft? A lot of people criticizing Atlanta for picking Phoenix. But I look at it this way. You've had nobody back there since Matt Ryan left, and then you've struggled ever since. So why not have somebody like Kirk Cousins? And then guess what? If Kirk Cousins doesn't pan out, you have your next quarterback in waiting.
True, true. But they're paying that quarterback $180 million to be if Kirk Cousins becomes a bust after they paid him $180 million, they better have some good clauses in his contract. Yeah. I don't like where he went, but I like the pick. You're getting Tavondre Sweat early in the second round. Big body D tackle again from Texas, just because, you know, it's somebody that me and you both watch and know. I think he's going to be a really good D tackle for them.
He went to Atlanta.
Do what?
He went to Atlanta.
He went to Tennessee.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Jonathan Brooks went to Carolina again, putting running backs in the NFL. You've had like three or four in the last couple of years. Adonai Mitchell to the Colts. I think that's a good fit for him and the Colts. Looking down.
It's the first year Texas had quite a few picks go.
Yeah. I know there was somebody who went in like the third or fourth round. Blake Corum to the Rams, I think, is a good fit. And that was in the third round.
JJ McCarthy going to the Vikings.
I personally,
you don't see the hype.
I don't see the hype. I don't see the fit. And we had kind of talked about it. It's like the Vikings have all the wide receiver talent and no quarterback, and the Chargers have all the quarterback talent and no wide receivers. I feel like they should have made that trade to get Justin Herbert to the Vikings. I know there was rumblings of it. How true that trade was, don't really know. But if there was a possibility of that trade between the two franchises, they should have pulled the trigger, because that would have put Minnesota ahead of where they are with J.J. McCarthy with a veteran quarterback in that veteran wide receiver room. And it gives the Chargers more draft capital or whatever they were going to get to kind of put them back in that rebuild mode and speed it up a little bit. So,
you know who had a good draft was, and just an overall good weekend, the Jets.
Jets did. Eagles did too. They Eagles know how to draft. They know how to fill their holes. They don't just draft to draft. They got some good pieces in there. Cooper DeJean, the white cornerback. We'll see what he does. They got two white people in the secondary now, so they're either going to show out or they're going to get burned. I don't know. We'll see. But Jared Wiley, the TCU tight end went to the Chiefs. I think that is a very underrated pickup for them. You know, he's going to be able to back up Kelsey. I think they're kind of similar in body style and type. So I think that was a good pickup by them in the fourth round. But other than that, I think a lot of teams kind of were spot on with what they were needing. I don't like Atlanta's draft.
Who do you think had maybe the overall best? Did you still stick with the Jets or Philly?
Yeah, I think it's Jets, Philly, Chiefs had a good draft. Bears had a decent. Depending on the Bears draft is either going to be really good or really bad, depending on how Caleb Williams pans out.
And it's not like they sucked really last year. They won 7 games.
Yeah. The Saints had a pretty good draft as well, in my opinion. So
they got old Spencer Rattler.
Besides that, Spencer Rattler. I don't know. I mean, when he went to South Carolina, I mean, his draft stock went down because the GMs in the NFL were saying that they didn't like how he was portrayed on that TV show back in the day, which I think he was humbled a little bit when he went to South Carolina and was beat up by Caleb. I wish the dude all the luck in the world to be a great NFL quarterback, but I think he has some work to be really good, some work to do. Obviously, I'm a couch coach, but that's just
what do you think about the Broncos selecting Bo Nix? You think he'll fit into Sean Payton's system? he's going to be the starter day one. There's no way they go with
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, no way.
Oh, you never know.
I think Sean Payton is so full of himself. He thinks he can make anybody a great quarterback when at the end of the day, dude, you had Drew Brees. I think Sean Payton is one of those coaches that you just had that luck with Drew Brees. You're not going to create the same magic twice like that without him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just not a Sean Payton fan, and I really do think that it was not Russell Wilson's 110% fault when he was in Denver.
Yeah. You know what I really liked in the draft, which happened very late in the draft? The Falcons picked up Jace McClellan from Alabama. Strong, physical, fast running back to match with Bijan Robinson. We all know Cordero Patterson's getting a little bit up there in age, kind of had some injuries over the last couple years. You put Jace McClellan and Bijan Robinson in that backfield, I think that is a, on paper in my eyes, not a top running back room day one. But it has the chance to be a really good running back room.
It's the best running back room in the NFC South.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of. Yeah, Tampa Bay doesn't have a very good running back room. The Saints have Kamara.
That's it.
And then
the Panthers.
Panthers, yeah. If Bijan can extend on what he did last year and stay healthy and be used. The biggest thing with Bijan was having a coach that didn't know how to use him. Same thing with Kyle Pitts. You have Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson, and you're throwing to somebody not named Drake London or, you know what I mean? Like, that coach was an idiot.
Let's say the Falcons start out 1-5. Do you pull Cousins immediately? And see what
Yeah, I mean, if you go 1-5 with Cousins. A, you're probably trying to trade them immediately to try and make something back. If you're not benching them, you're at least looking for something. But if you're 1-5, you kind of start to sound the alarm out there, and you know that's not a good start to their season. Obviously, but having that quarterback come in, thinking that's going to be your answer. That would be a pretty bad situation.
I do like where this team is going, though. And we'll kind of shuffle the deck to the NBA playoffs. The Thunder swept the New Orleans Pelicans, and now they're on to round two, waiting the Clippers or the Mavs. I got to tell you, Craig, I want, if I'm a Thunder fan or a Thunder player, I kind of hope Dallas wins. I don't know if I'd want to travel back and back to the West Coast, back to Oklahoma City, back and forth like that.
I get you. Yeah, I can understand that. You know, the Thunder were 5-2 versus both of those franchises throughout the season. The one game Dallas won, I think the Thunder were in the longest stretch of their amount of games and days. I think it was like game six in a 9-day stretch or something like that. And it was right after the trade deadline. So Dallas was very happy to have PJ Washington and all them come in. So I think they came out and played really good. They played really well. The Thunder didn't really have any tape to kind of see how they were going to play. So they might have caught them. But that's an interesting matchup because you had the one game where you weren't able to really, game plan against that team. And then the next game was at the end of the season and the Dallas set everybody. So yes, they were 3-1 against them during the season, but the two wins at the early part of the season weren't against the same team that is the current Dallas Mavericks. So it'll be an interesting matchup. I don't think it'll be a 4-1, kind of matching up to the series. I think it'll be 6 or 7 games just because of the different matchup that Dallas is going to be able to present in those games.
Right now, it looks like Indiana is on their way to wrapping up the Bucks and winning the series 4-2. They're up 81-69 right now. The third quarter is almost over.
Well, it looks like it's 85-76 on my end.
Let me refresh.
Yeah, 85-76, a minute 55 left in the third. So if the Pacers were to win that, it sucks for the Bucks because you had Dame go down a game. You had Giannis for no games this series. Middleton's been kind of hurting. So Malik Beasley was out. So you're sitting there with Pat Bev as your point guard. It's kind of tough for them. Kind of sucks, in all honesty, to have that bad of injury luck at this time of year when Giannis has been fairly healthy throughout the year.
And then May the 4th, you got the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, game one.
Yeah, get your popcorn ready. That's going to be playoff Jamal Murray is a real thing. I know those commercials are doing it, and it's kind of joking. That dude's points per game goes up like, I think they said like 8 points on TV the other day. So imagine he's averaging 21 during the season. He's averaging 29 during the playoffs. He steps up whenever it comes down to it. He's a big-time player when he's healthy, which, he's been healthy these last 2 years. So,
and then the Celtics knocked off Miami. We were talking last week, if they can get by Miami, it looks like they're on to the Eastern Conference Finals, which means they do play – who do they play next?
Cavs Magic, which is a 3-2 series, and they play tomorrow. Celtics are a pretty complete team. Porzingis did just get hurt though last night, or the other night. So I don't think they'll miss him that much because you still have your two big horses and Brown and Tatum. And I mean, Derek White has been red hot coming out. He had like 40 the other night and 26 in game five. It's like when your bench is able to have Sam Hauser, who can go off for 30 in a game. Derek White can go off for 40. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can go off at any night. You have Drew Holiday, who's a proven scorer and very good defense. Overall, Boston is the best roster top to bottom with the amount of people that can just go off at any given night. I don't see them being challenged the rest of the way in the East. Maybe the Pacers give him a challenge, but the Pacers are struggling with a injury-ridden Milwaukee team. Yes, they've had some games where they've blown them out a little bit, but most of those games have been fairly close, and Milwaukee's given them some good, you know, tough games. But I don't see Boston being challenged.
Monday night, Craig, did we see LeBron in a Lakers uniform for the last time? They lost the series 4-1 to the Denver Nuggets.
If
his exact quote was, "Win or lose, I'm still the GOAT. Going to focus on the Olympics, and he'll talk about his NBA future after the Olympics."
Yeah, his is a little more tough than the next person I'll bring up. I think he likes it in LA. I definitely think Darvin Ham will be fired in the coming days. I don't think Darvin Ham was a good coach. I don't know who they'll bring in. I don't know who they can move on the team just because of contract situations and cap space and everything. So it'll be interesting. I think a lot of stuff has to happen. A lot of changes have to be made. I'll say it that way. A lot of changes have to be made for LeBron to stay in LA. If there's not many changes, I think you see that's a good indication that LeBron will be leaving or traded regardless. So no changes, LeBron leaves. Big changes, I think you'll see LeBron stay.
If he leaves, where do you think he'd go? You think he'd go back home, or do you think he's at this point he's just ring chasing again?
I don't know. That's tough. I'll say this, and this will again lead into the next person. A lot of people are talking about how they like the way the Thunder are ran. They like the team. They like the management. Maybe LeBron's had enough of the big city lights and he wants to go and play somewhere that his son can be drafted. Oklahoma City has plenty of draft capital to be able to, you know, take a chance on Bronny. Who knows if they'll do that? I'm not really sure of who else would. San Antonio. I mean, you get to play for Greg Popovich. I've Victor Wembanyama is a big. Do what?
I've heard San Antonio was a big landing spot.
I think you'll see a big star land there this offseason in San Antonio. I think Victor Wembanyama is somebody who is going to attract big names. And you still have Popovich there coaching. So
the GOAT.
He's definitely top. You know, I don't want to just say three. I'll say six just because I know some of these old heads will be like, well.
Top five?
Possibly. I mean, he's – yeah. But I've been saying it for a long time. The sweep really indicates changes will be made because Phoenix is in a dead spot. And today kind of solidified my position. The Oklahoma City Thunder are plus 350, which is the highest of any NBA team to be Kevin Durant's next landing spot. I think I talked about it last week. They have the best, they have the most capital to trade. They have the most cap space to sign. It's somewhere he's already been. He's been talking about it a lot lately.
Has he really?
People ask him, and he's like, you know, this. They have a great team. Great. You know, I like the way they play. I like the players. He just did a commercial with Chet Holmgren. So there's that connection there.
So what if they go to the Western Conference Finals and lose? You think you see him joining next year?
If the Thunder – I think it's very possible they make it to the Western Conference Finals. So one way or the other, if they make it to the Western Conference Finals and then get to the finals, I think you might not see any trades happen. You'll just see free agency signings happen because they'll feel like, okay, we have the roster. We just need to improve on it. I don't know who you trade if you have to trade for Kevin Durant because
– But he's a free agent, though. Can't he just sign wherever?
Is he going to be a free agent?
That's what I saw. That he's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Um, No, next year he will be the final year of his contract.
Oh.
And then in 26, 27, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. So, 53 million for the, no, he has two more years on this contract, 24, 25, 25, 26. So 50 million next year for his contract, 53 the year after. Maybe they can trade and get them to take a bit off of that. I'm not sure, you know, how much you can do on that, but say you trade, you know, I'm just throwing out names. I don't want to, you know, Josh Giddey.
He also just looks like he doesn't want to be there anymore. He
looks unhappy. Phoenix, yeah. Dude, I could have told you from the get-go, trading all James Jones, the GM for the Phoenix Suns, has to be on the hot seat if they don't make something happen for them. You traded a team that was in the finals away for Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and some crumbs. No disrespect, but that's literally what it is, money-wise. You got nothing left. You have no draft picks until 2030. You're paying three players $150 million, which is more than 15 teams in the NBA per ESPN or whatever. You got nowhere to go, so you have to make changes. If Kevin Durant is going to agree to be traded, it's going to be somewhere he wants to go, which OKC would be one of those spots, because not only is it a spot I feel like he would be okay coming back to try and
He never played pro basketball for a team where he was in college for. Maybe he goes to San Antonio. Maybe he goes and plays with Pop.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I don't know. The Suns are going to want draft picks. I don't know how many draft picks the Spurs have.
That's why you said Oklahoma City has
plenty. Oklahoma City has like 24 draft picks in the next 6 years. It might be more than that. It might be 30, but it's ridiculous how many picks we have. I do think Oklahoma City gets a fairly big name in the offseason, though. I'll put it that way. Kevin Durant just happens to be in a position where, yes, he's under contract, but that team is going to be looking to move pieces, and I think he will be wanting out. So, yeah.
Definitely going to be interesting the next few days. Yeah,
moving into – and you'll probably see a lot of things happen quickly once the season's done because of the Olympics this year. And so with the Olympics happening, people will probably be like, okay, I need to make a decision so I can go to the Olympics and I have to be doing all this other stuff. Yeah. So there's not a bunch of big names in the offseason or in the free agency list this year. I know there are some pretty good names, but it's not a big, big time free agency list this year. But Phoenix will have to move one of those three at least, if not two. You know, keep Booker, move Beal and Durant, try to get some pieces around Booker again. Hell, maybe they move Booker as well because he's like, look, I've been here this long. We haven't been able to do anything. Even though you're trading Durant and Beal, I still feel like I won't have enough pieces here. So you could see one to all three of those people being traded this offseason. Maybe. I'm not sure of the whole trade and the hit on the cap space and all that. So, but I still feel like changes will be made in Phoenix. I'll put it that way.
Let's shift some gears now to the WWE Backlash pay-per-view show, the PLE. This is the first little prediction show that we've had since the WrestleMania weekend. We'll kind of probably go through pretty quickly unless we talk some predictions and stuff, which we're going to. There's only five matches on the card this Saturday. It's live from France, so that should be a pretty fun crowd. It doesn't feel like it's already been 4 weeks since WrestleMania weekend, which is insane. But I'll run through some, and we can kind of give our little predictions on who's going to win. We'll start off big. World Heavyweight Championship match. Damian Priest, champion, defends against Jey Uso. Are they going to play hot potato with the World Heavyweight Championship, or do they keep it on Damian Priest? Jay, what do you think? We'll start with you.
Could you guys hear me first off?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Priest all the way. This is Jimmy's time to shine. Priest all the way. No, Priest is gonna keep it for a minute. Triple H is one of those guys that like to keep titles on people for long periods of time. So I see Priest running with the gold for a little bit. That's my decision. Jey Uso might get a DQ win, might, but Priest is gonna take the belt home.
Yeah, I think they shy away from the bloodline. Storyline for a little bit. Not necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily like for a long time, but I do think they want to maybe get a feel for how people react to that storyline not being pushed out as hard. So I agree with Jay. I'll go Damian Priest.
Man, I feel like you have to. I'm the only one going with Jay. Then I think they have to put on Jay. He's hot. I think you change the championship just for a little bit to get the story where you want it to. And the reason I say I think they're going to play hot potato just for the summer is because I think you have your champion who's a face going into Clash the Castle to face off against Drew. And then I think the new bloodline, Solo and the others, cost Jay the championship at Clash of the Castle.
The only way I can see Jay going over and winning the title is if there's bad interference from Judgment Day. Like, you know how they've been screwing up the past few weeks on Raw, like JD McDonagh and all them, they've been fucking up.
Yeah.
That's where I can see Jay winning, but I'm still going with Priest.
I can for sure see that, and just let him get his little hot title win. And then I think once he has it, I think ultimately goes back to Drew, and I think Drew will have a little lengthy run and feud with CM Punk there. But I'm going to go with Jay this weekend. So
we got two Priests and one Jay.
Next up, we'll do Women's Tag Team Championships. The Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill. This is another one of those, interesting kind of matches. Jay, we'll start with you.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and say Bianca and Jade win. They're taking the belts off. They need the belts. The Kabuki Warriors have had them long enough. They haven't done shit with them. And so it's now time for Cargill and Bianca to have some fun until they feud.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off Jay. I think Bianca and Jade take it. I think Bianca is just has a better presence as far as the public goes. So I'm gonna go with those two.
I like those picks because I think that would be great for the belts to put them on those two guys or those two counterparts. But I really do think this starts their feud. I think the Kabuki Warriors win by pinning Bianca, and I think Cargill will end up being the heel going into the feud. And I also do like these two meeting in the Queen of the Ring finals in Saudi Arabia next month or later this month.
So I'll agree with you there that Cargill is going to be the heel in the program with Bianca, but I just don't see it happening until at least Survivor Series.
I don't think they need the belts though. I don't think they need the belts.
It's not a matter of needing the belts. It's a matter of Triple H wanting to put the belts on somebody. Cargill needs the they want to put Cargill over big. It's like she's like super over right now. They want to put her super over.
And I think if you put the belts on them,
way of doing that than making her the Queen of the Ring?
Well, that'll happen as well, but it's still going to be the push towards the Queen of the Ring.
Yeah, I think if you put the belts on them and then a feud starts that way, it raises more tension and more question marks on the championships and where they go and how that's going to be handled. So,
should be a fun summer because I think we all can agree that feud will probably have a big match with SummerSlam.
I'm thinking Survivor Series is when everything will kick off with them. That's my opinion.
Next up, we'll go another tag multi-man match for Randy Orton. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton versus the New Bloodline, or the Bloodline still right now is what it's called. Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. What do you guys think, Jay?
Tama Tonga and Solo are going to get a new member. I don't know if you could show that picture I just sent you, but the man that was in that picture, Jacob Fatu, that's supposed to be the man that joins the team. That's what everybody's been hearing. That's the rumors going around that Jacob Fatu is joining the Bloodline. It's going to be a Bloodline faction feud. Bloodline Solo, Tama, and Jacob Fatu, and then Roman and the Usos are going to join back up together. And that's going to be the civil war for the Bloodline.
That is a, that'd be a fun little War Games match.
Personally, I would like Kevin Owens and Randy Orton to win, but I have been hearing a lot of Solo Sikoa, so I'm going to go with Solo Sikoa. I think they're gonna ride him and with how hot his name has been lately. So,
plus you don't have Tama Tonga lose his debut match. Sorry, Kevin Owens is going to depend on this one.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. I think I would like to see Solo, whoever he pins, I'd like to see Solo get the pin. And then I hope this does lead into something more involved for Solo. Like maybe he comes through out of this and challenges Cody for a belt for the title, or you know, maybe he can destroy like Logan Paul and get the US title back on him. I don't know, but I think this could be maybe a match of the night.
I know it's probably going to open the show. I guess it could probably open the show. I don't know about match of the night. Match of the night is going to be Cody and AJ. I'm sorry.
You don't think I kind of have a feeling that maybe Uso might open up the show.
Okay, I can see that. Start off with one title match and with another.
Yeah, I'll go with Solo. I wanted to piggyback off of this, though, because I did mention about Randy Orton's multi-matches. Do you guys think his back is really that messed up to where he's kind of relying on some of these multi-tag matches and multi-man matches where he doesn't have to go a full 20, 30 minutes?
I think it's just
what Jay's talking about. There's old Fatu.
Giving everybody the old middle finger.
Where was that at? How long ago was that?
That was about a year ago at the Cotillion here in Wichita.
Nice.
He wrestled Stamp Stackhouse that night and lost in a hardcore match.
Can't wait to see what he does.
He's hardcore.
So. But I think Randy Orton's just hitting the time in his career where he's going to start slowing it down a little bit, teaming up with people, and putting people over. That's where I think he's at right now.
Should be a good match. I'm hoping to see some good stuff. And I think maybe even – I know we're talking about people turning on each other, but something's also brewing between Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, I feel like, as well. Or maybe they just start hitting off as a tag team.
No, that could be a SummerSlam match for damn sure. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah. But I kind of want to see – I like seeing Kevin Owens chasing a title, and I almost thought he was going to get the U.S. title at WrestleMania. So maybe he gets back involved with Logan Paul somehow. I don't know.
That title ain't coming off Logan Paul for a little bit, bro. Logan Paul's going to have that belt for at least 6 months, bro, if not a little longer.
Speaking of championships, the women's championship is being defended in a triple threat match. Bayley will walk in against Tiffany Stratton and Naomi. This is Bayley's second championship defense on TV since winning it at WrestleMania. Jay, we'll start with you.
Who was the first? Or can you
call? Her first was Naomi 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Raw or SmackDown?
On SmackDown.
Kevin told me today that he thinks it's tippy time when I spoke to him earlier about it. But Bayley hadn't had it that long. A lot of these championship holders, they just won most of them just won the belt at WrestleMania. So it doesn't seem proper to take the belts off them just yet.
Bayley doesn't. But I mean, Jinder Mahal did have his little backlash moment.
Well, the only titles I see changing hand are the tag team titles.
And that is, this is the women's, yeah. So you're going with Bayley?
Yeah, I'm going Bayley.
Didn't Bayley have an injury leaving out of WrestleMania?
No, that was Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
That's who it was. All right.
You got Bailey, Craig?
So.
I want to go with Bailey, but I think if one champion had to be sacrificed to just push over some new NXT talent, I think you sacrifice Bailey and her title. I would agree with Kevin. I think it is Tiffy time. She's super, super over. She's over as a heel. She's having great matches. She has that look to her as well. So I think it would be a Tiffy time come Saturday in France. So
France.
And then main event, Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles, first time ever undisputed WWE Championship. Who you got, Jay?
Oh, easy, Cody. AJ and him are going to put on a hell of a match. They're going to have a hell of a match. It's going to be phenomenal, should I say. But it's Cody's going to keep it for a bit. He's at least got it till Survivor Series. Unless he's a person in the War Games match, then he'll keep it at least. Like I said, Triple H is a guy that likes to keep title belts on guys for a long period of time. Because sit there and look at how he ran NXT, and he's doing the same thing here.
Yeah. I don't think you make WrestleMania that dramatic and have that much, congratulating after WrestleMania just to turn around and at the next big main event have Cody get rid of the belt. So,
yeah.
Give me Cody.
Agreed. I'll take Cody. But I'll take him in a nice – I think it'll be a lengthy 30-minute match at least. I think it'll be a fun back-and-forth matchup. So.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you there. It'll be I'll give them 35, 40 minutes. Give the audience in France something to bite over, you know. But, ooh, we got AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes.
And I wouldn't mind I wouldn't mind seeing this go into maybe a lengthy run either, too. Maybe a rematch at a King of the Ring.
I could see that happening.
So.
So what time does this show kick off for us here in America? Since isn't it like noon or something like that this show?
So yeah, it's noon Eastern, which I think it'll be
11 Central,
1 p.m. Eastern, noon for us, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So should be fun. And then SmackDown tomorrow is 7 p.m. for us still here in the U.S., but I believe it's 1 p.m. over there in France. So SmackDown will be in France as well tomorrow. Some notable matches tomorrow. I think the SmackDown or the WWE Tag Team Championships are on the line. Catch Republic versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
Grayson Waller and Austin Theory is going to go over in that one because Catch Republic's going to Raw.
Yep. So should be a fun SmackDown, fun week of wrestling. NBA playoffs are still going on. So a lot of stuff to watch this week. Tomorrow, don't forget, we're having a live on location. Come check us out. Film Row, Night of the Living Dead, 7 p.m., 6:30, 7 p.m. tomorrow. Links are all on the socials. You can find our social medias, facebook.com/thecinemamoviepodcast. The Instagram is all one word, The Cinema Movie Podcast. X, formerly known as Twitter, is at cinnamon405. And then you can email us at cinemen921@gmail.com.
We look forward, me and Juan look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow at the movies.
Jay, before we get out of here, who is your prediction for King of the Ring winner and Queen of the Ring winner?
I don't even know who's in the tournament yet.
Well, no, the tournament hasn't been announced yet, but that's the next PLE, May 25th. I mean, just kind of
if we're going Queen, I'd say Cargill. Jade will probably end up winning that to give her a little bit of a push, give her a gimmick, sum up. But as far as the men, I have no idea. As far as the men, throw some names out there to me that might
kick something off my head. I'm going Gunther 100%.
Oh, Gunther. Oh, then yeah. There we go.
Yeah, I'm going.
Or Gunther. That could be Jay's Usos backup
because yeah. they're doing what they did in 2002. The winner of the King of the Ring gets a championship match.
All right.
So I feel like
I can see Cody and Gunther going at it. Oh, that would be beautiful.
Yeah. But Gunther's on Raw. Not unless you know you can use the King of the Ring and go against whatever champion. But I think the ring general can possibly do that. Yeah. Ring General and the American Nightmare. Man, this sounds like Rocky IV, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds like it'd be a hell of a match.
So, other than that, Craig, is there anything else you want to mention about NBA draft or NFL draft or the playoffs before we get out of here?
No. I mean, it looks like Indiana's going to be heading off to the semis. They are up 21. No. 10. Yeah, 21. So, kind of sucks. Like I said, they had a lot of injuries. The Bucks did coming into the playoffs. Kind of sucks to go out that way, but it is what it is. So we will. That means they're going to play winner of the Knicks Sixers, which is the next game on tonight. So could possibly have that part of the bracket filled. So interesting games coming up, big time games coming up.
Should be fun. All right, you guys, we'll talk to you again next Thursday right here on the Sports Breakers. Don't forget to come check us out tomorrow night at Film Row. Until then, have a great weekend, guys.
Later.
Later.